Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome, weary traveler. Need a short rest? Oh, I see. They said you'd be showing up about now. Come on, through the portal. Best not keep the Lord Mistress and Lord Master waiting. You know how they get.
Robots Radio presents the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. The best way for everyone from experienced dungeon masters to those curious about D&D to learn more about the worlds, creatures, and lore of Dungeons and Dragons.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons and Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
And we are joined by the almighty patrons for our worldwide multiverse famous patron roundtable. We're joined by it's a murderer's row of patrons. We've got Grimm, we've got Bellari, we've got Darkwing, and joining us for the first time, we've got Jeff.
Yeah,
Jeff, not just Jeff. Jeff Steele. That's a
spy name.
That's a spy name.
I hate to tell you this, but that's a spy name.
Well, it's like the least or the most conspicuous spy name ever, right? Right? Like, I would never get away with anything at a cocktail mixer in a tuxedo introducing myself like that.
Or it would be so obvious that you could hide in plain sight.
Like, that guy can't Brilliant. Be a spy.
It's too obvious.
If James Bond is a spy, why is he just giving his name out all the time?
That's a good question.
Maybe it's a title.
That was
like Xanathar.
I was gonna say Santa Claus, and I'm like, you're gonna bring the Tim Allen classic, the Santa Claus, into this already.
That is not. If I was gonna bring any form of Santa, it would be Sandy Claus, and it would be the Nightmare Before Christmas version.
Well, we are joined by the patrons. We are in the middle of 2023. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of a checkup and see what everyone's mm-hmm. been getting into so far this year, Dungeons and Dragons wise, TTRPG wise in general. That's going to be the first half of the show. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to take a look into our crystal ball and talk about what we're excited about for the second half of 2023.
I'm glad you found the crystal ball. I didn't mean to misplace
it. It fell down the stairs. It rolled down, but
I figured I probably put it somewhere high so it was safe, and then I couldn't see it because it's above eye level.
Exactly.
It happens to me all the time.
Never lost. Only geographically misplaced.
Exactly.
I put it somewhere safe, which is the problem, because it's safe from me as well.
So who wants to get us started? Who's eager to talk about what they've been getting into in 2023? Not everyone Rickets. At once, guys.
Well, I guess, you know, I will do it. I was trying to give someone else a shot.
Darkwing, yeah, you always roll high on initiative. Let's get going, buddy.
Perfect. Well, I mean, I think we all pretty much enjoyed the D&D movie. We were all happy to see it not be a stinker like the 2000 film.
There's a D&D movie.
There are Dungeons and Dragons movies?
No, actually, I'm making all that up. I just want to see if you're
listening.
It has
dragons in it and also dungeons. There's
only been one D&D movie, and it came out earlier this year. Any arguments to otherwise, I'm not going to hear them. I'm going to ban you from the Discord.
Oh, no.
But a smear campaign on you on Twitter.
I'm pretty sure they're
going to ban me. I'm leaving.
I think we should do it for a movie night, though. You gonna kick me out? Huh?
It's very awful. It's so bad, but yeah, and well, so yeah, we'll bad. Talk about Joy. We'll talk about that during the community yeah. watch. Right. But yeah, so what else, Darkwing? What else have you been getting into?
Well, honestly, right now we're exactly at a year of the campaign. I've been running going for a year, continually. Same guys.
Happy anniversary!
Yeah, also been listening to the cast for just about that long as well. Maybe a year and a month or something like that. So
is this a homebrew campaign? Is it?
Oh yeah, This is I started them and then worked my way into. Gonna make sure they can't hear me from here. Where Zastam's actually gonna end up being Mum Ra.
Oh, that one.
Still going. It's still going.
Oh, nice, nice.
And just some of the dumbest shit, but
Yeah, that all stemmed from a patron roundtable we had where we had a fantasy draft. We're able to draft a D&D party from across all fandoms. So if you wanted a monk that was, you know, Donatello, or if you wanted Legolas as your ranger, and Darkwing zigged when everyone thought he was going to zag and drafted the entire Thundercats team.
To be fair, instead of zigging or zagging, he just shot like a firework off in the air and it exploded in 1,000 colors. Like he
pretty much.
Damn right I did.
Never let him know your next
damn
move.
Right.
Never.
I mean,
let
in grand keep scheme of things, toes. Though, in grand scheme, though, Mumra is totally Zastam.
I mean,
right?
If,
right?
If
is it the same? It's the same
it.
Architect, isn't it? Or architect? Archetype? Excuse me.
If you think about
no,
it.
No, same
it,
archetype, I believe.
They're dressed kind of the same. They've got the same goals.
I mean,
multiverse theory, same
totally
guy.
Have a pyramid.
I mean,
just,
and Darkwing's
it's just
logic
an avatar.
Was flawless. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. Like you know how that's Zastam in that,
is that his
in that
logic
universe
is
in the Thundercats verse.
And the last really, really good thing that I have enjoyed D&D wise this year is the cookbooks that they put out. I'm eating Del Zune Tide Me Overs as we speak that I made this evening.
Sounds so awesome.
Yeah, you've been we've got a Tavern Treats channel on the Discord, and Darkwing's been going, no pun intended, because I am not Mary and I do not approve of puns, but he's been going ham on that channel, posting all of his culinary delicacies.
Ham.
There is pork in this evening. These meatballs are fantastic.
They look amazing.
That's it. And I guess I will absolutely save the other parts of my notes for what I'm looking forward to, because there is things.
There be things.
There be things. Things spotted, sir. Arr. Anyway, so what the rest of you bring to the table tonight?
Yeah, what have y'all been up to, Jeff? How about you? You're the newcomer to the patron roundtable.
I'm the rookie.
Let's put your feet to the fire.
Yeah,
one of us.
Google gobble.
Thank you for welcoming me. So D&D wise, like I've kind of been wrapped up like writing subclasses. Just I don't know. I just recently picked up the hobby, I guess, not the D&D hobby, but writing subclasses, and I didn't realize that there was such a huge rabbit hole to fall down. So that's been taking up a ton of time.
Welcome.
Yeah, right. And I'm super obsessed with getting things balanced. So that, of course, lends itself to just endless iterations. But yeah, there's that. There's Rise of the Black Coven that I'm trying to help out with a little bit there.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to be talking about that and the stuff we're looking forward to part of the show.
Cool. Yep.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And outside of that, I mean, material wise, I've really been on this kick of watching like a psychological horror, or at least so perfect example would be like Midsommar. I've seen it, but I'm watching it again, like the director's cut that's 6.5 hours long or whatever it is, just for fun. And then Annihilation, probably seen that movie like 24 times, but yeah, I'm just, and it seems like it's always like this calendar time of the year where these things just sort of become like a really sneaky priority, and all of a sudden I just am like, oh yeah, I've watched this like a couple times this week now. So yeah, that's pretty much what's going on here.
So that speaking of Midsommar and Annihilation and the like, have you seen Men?
So I just found out about it. That's Alex Garland, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. It's on the list. It's very near the top of the list.
It is wild.
Recommend it?
I don't know. Like, I mean, no, yeah, I do. I do. I'm at the point now in my media consumption where, you know, like I've seen so much. I've read so much. I've heard so much. You know, I've consumed so much that, you know, it's kind of hard to surprise me. And so when something comes along that is very unique and very just like I've never seen something like that before, kind of like Everything Everywhere All at Once, you know, it's I love it. I think it's great. And then even stuff that may not be good per se, like the third Halloween movie, Halloween Ends, you know, at least it tried something, and I'm willing to give it, you know, the benefit of the doubt. I'm willing to, you know, give it its flowers just for that, for that alone. At least you tried something. You didn't give us, you know, just the same sort of like, you know, Halloween movie. And, you know, you swung, and maybe you didn't connect. Maybe you struck out, but at least you went out swinging.
Yeah. I kind of felt that way when I saw Mother with Jennifer Lawrence, you know,
right,
several years back now. That was exactly how I felt. Like I was a little taken by surprised in the portrayal, but like ultimately there was that underlying thread that I was like, yeah, I kind of get this. I've seen this, like at least some version of this. So you're singing my song about like the overexposure to media and not being surprised anymore.
No. Yeah. And
sometimes it works amazing though, with like Jason X.
Jason X,
they knew they were making an incredibly terrible show. And just went, oh my God, we're going to make this the worst show that everyone's going to love.
Yeah, when lean into it, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they lean into the camp. They lean into just the schlock of it all. Yeah, that can be a lot of fun too. Anything else? Anything else you've been consuming?
No, I mean that's pretty much it. I have a toddler, so most of my time is consumed inversely.
Yep.
it all belongs to someone else.
Yep, yeah, for sure. That's we finally got Tex on the show last month.
Yeah,
because he's got a beautiful little bouncing baby that takes up a lot of his time.
Yeah.
Bilari, what have you been getting into?
Mostly actually just starting the Alice campaign next Monday, I think. The Alice in Wonderland that was advertised in the channel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In our Discord. Some of the members of our Discord are getting together and doing a game together.
Yes. So we had our first, round zero last week, where we just talked about all the stuff. And then DM got plague sick, like Mary.
Yeah.
So we skipped this week, but we're going to start next week, and hopefully should be fun.
Yeah, that sewer plague, it'll get you.
Yeah. Apparently.
And I mean, as far as I play MMOs online,
mm-hmm.
Like I grew up with Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter Nights and all of that wonderful gaming that Black Isle did. Mm-hmm. And they've started getting more into the lore stuff. Like they just recently went to Menenzo Baron, and they're using that as going into was it Under Never? The caverns below Castle Never.
Oh.
So they're just starting to branch into that as mm-hmm. sort of a tie-in to bring it all back in. So that's super fun on the game front.
Yeah, I've been ever since we linked up, I've been wanting to. I've got Neverwinter installed on my PC, but just with that, I mean, I don't have time for anything. It seems like, you know, all my free time is spent doing the show and doing other D&D stuff. Like mm-hmm. I haven't played a video game in so long, even stuff that I want to play desperately, which I think is a reason why I'm saying that we're starting up the Twitch channel here pretty soon. And that's just another reason. That's just a reason for me to be able to play video games.
Like, I mean,
absolutely.
They're a fair amount of time sink if you don't have the right people around you. Like if you were to join, I'd say come join our guild. And then you just have, like, you know, your first week compressed into about a day because we just give you stuff because we need bag space.
Right, exactly.
No, it's like, oh my god, here, have mythics. It's fine.
Yeah, that's how a lot of MMOs are. Like, I remember playing Elder Scrolls Online and just having some random, very nice character come by and just give me like this completely OP weapon that it would have taken me weeks to get.
Yep. Yeah, it's one of the fun parts of it is that when you're playing it and it comes out new, you've got that whole grindy aspect of that you're willing to just dive in. Like when new books come out for D&D or you just start a new campaign, you're all in. And then after a couple of weeks, you're like, oh, but I don't want to do the same quest over and over. Fucking make new quests.
Yeah,
it's not that hard.
I also, when I was playing Final Fantasy 14, I would be amazed at the number of people that would join in on our, you know, raids or whatever it was that had already seemingly done, like, they knew exactly what to do, so they'd done this mission, this whatever, this quest dozens of times before, and I'm like, y'all don't get tired of just doing the same thing over and over? Like,
No, they do not.
No, they do not.
I have about 6,000 hours into Final Fantasy 14. They do not get bored of doing the same thing over and over again, I promise you.
It's not one of those games for me, but there's a couple that I go do the exact same thing on, and it becomes like a comfort routine thing.
I partially think it's kind of like the weird runner people. The ones that want to do like the,
excuse
like the
me?
4 minute mile. Yes, the weird runner people.
So you mean like actual people
that
who
sounds
run?
Like,
I thought you
that
meant
sounds
like
a monster
run
for people
gamers
that do it for fun.
Of course.
People that like go jogging.
Of course.
Oh, no, not the jogging people, the competitive people that go, okay, so I know this dude did it in 4:02. I know I can do a mile faster than that. So I'm just going to do that 19 times a day, every day for the next year until I beat him.
Yeah,
they've just got that weird driving force to do it faster and better than everybody else. And a lot of MMOs are geared towards that, to the point that when you start doing like dungeons and instances and stuff like that, you run into the people that it's not about what you get at the end, it's how fast you can do it.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Instances, the worst ripoff of D&D ever.
It's just the one where all of it's done in a very posh old English accent.
Well, obviously.
This is Dungeons and Instances. Welcome. Please have a seat.
And all the bad people are British.
And drive Jaguars.
And drive Jags.
Jaguars.
Of course they do.
Well, Grim, aside from, what have you been getting into? Have you had any time besides, you know, considering you've been playing 6,000 hours of Final Fantasy 14.
Okay, I'll have you know that 6,000 hours was occurred over several years.
Okay,
but
fair enough.
Lately, actually, no, I haven't had a lot of time to do much D&D. We've actually been taking a break from our campaigns because I'm in the middle of playing Tomb of Annihilation, which we're actually about to pick up this Thursday again. And then hopefully I don't get myself killed.
Always a threat. Should be.
I mean, you know, random lich smite me. Who knows? Anyway. And then I DM Out of the Abyss, which I will be jumping back into not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
Nice.
In the meantime, it's pretty much what haven't I been into. I've been playing religiously Pathfinder, Wrath of the Righteous. As a matter of fact, I just downloaded Kingmaker. So I will be diving into that and finishing Wrath of the Righteous here, hopefully in the next couple months. I have just bought Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft.
Nice.
And I believe I posted this. I actually just bought the Vampire the Masquerade book, which... Yep,
5th edition.
Yep, and I have yet to read that, but I am very excited to read that because it's like, how dark can a game get? Vampire the Masquerade is your example.
Yeah, it's Vampire the Masquerade is so fun.
If I'm understanding the description of it, it's pretty much just how evil can you be?
I mean, it's like, I mean, they're obviously like, you know, like you could play more like a moral vampire as in terms of, you know, as far as like the morality spectrum for a vampire can, you know, what it can be. But you know, there are some, like sects of the vampire that, like types of vampire that are like almost like sociopathic, you know, Machavian. And so they, they're kind of like, the absolute like id to play. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It can be more role play heavy than like your average like D&D game or even Pathfinder game, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd definitely be up my alley. It's funny because like the people around me have gotten me more and more into tabletop RPGs than I was ever originally going to be into. There was probably about 5 years where my friend was just like, play D&D with me. I wouldn't do it because I was like, it's not for me. Finally, I sat down and did it. It was for me.
Absolutely
for you.
That was a good friend.
That is a loyal friend. That is a solid friend.
Well, the deal was, I play D&D, he plays Final Fantasy 14. So it took me 5 years to honor that deal, but hey, I did it. And then I had another friend of mine was like, hey, I just started playing Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll try that too. And I've dived down that rabbit hole. Right. And then I have another friend of mine who's waiting for the new video game for Vampire the Masquerade, which has been, I guess, in the making for years and hasn't come out yet.
Although there is a big announcement, here relatively soon. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was kind of like out of nowhere. Their Twitter account mentioned it and like everyone started freaking out because it kind of gone. There was radio silence for several months, if not close to a year.
Yeah. And when he told me about Vampire the Masquerade, I was just like, you know, I was in the bookstore while I was actually on vacation in Dallas, Texas. And I was like, I passed the book and I was just like, you know what? I'll get it and I'll read through it. And then when we get the chance, I'll DM a Vampire the Masquerade game for him. So let him play some Vampire the Masquerade before he actually gets to play Vampire the Masquerade.
There you go.
But I mean, that's about it for me. I mean, I listen to podcasts here and there, but with live play D&D, but nothing else really.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing about Bloodlines 2 back in like 2017. Was when it was first announced. And then in September there's going to be a big announcement according to their Twitter account.
I will definitely we changed be looking our minds. Forward to that.
Don't say that out loud. That's not nice.
I made a friend at the North Texas. I made a lot of friends at the North Texas role playing game convention. But one of which, like, I actually played in a Vampire the Masquerade Dark Ages game that he ran that weekend.
Oh, cool.
And messaged him like that tweet, and he said the exciting announcement. Ha! There is no sequel, suckers. And I'm like, don't say that. Don't say that
pretty
at
much.
All.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he'd be pretty upset with that one.
So how about you, Mary? You mentioned that your D&D playing has been few and far between, but what else have you
been
getting
sparse.
Into?
Oh my gosh. Well, first, the entire nerd community winning. I just want to throw this out there. The OGL.
Yep, absolutely.
Debacle. Fiasco. Shitstorm. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. I'm really glad that ended up like that. Big win for me for this year. I think I've DM'd twice this year, actually. I was so excited to talk about it last week, and then, you know, sewer plague. But the weekend before this last one, we did a 5-hour session. So I DM'd for a 5-hour session then, and then a few weeks before we had worked on the other one. So I've got everybody kind of back on track there. And that part's been really exciting for me. Getting to actually do the thing.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like playing. I mean, you know Jeff was talking about like writing subclasses and
Blari's... Oh, I love the writing part too.
Yeah, and Blari's mentioned like the video games, but there's nothing quite like sitting down, whether it be at a physical table or you know, a virtual tabletop and rolling dice with people. That's it's so great.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty solid year. I'm pretty pretty content with where things are, and proud of the stuff that, especially the stuff we've accomplished here too, has been pretty awesome as well.
I think the growth of the show has been awesome, and the community that we've been able to foster and nurture and cultivate. I mean, the growth of the roundtable is testament to that, and.
Here.
I couldn't be happier.
I'll drink to that.
Harumph.
We all got our own beverages. Between rum and tea, and I forgot what Darkwing was drinking, and Mountain Dew for myself.
A beer.
Yeah. No.
Elysian. Two beer drinkers.
I think Jeff's going. Cheers. I think Jeff's the only parched one here.
Yeah, I'm on the Perrier. Actually, oh, which I'm almost ashamed to say, but you know, there's limited options in the fridge, so it works. Hey. It's bubbly.
Here in the plain of Texas, where the tower is located, we're more inclined to Topo Chico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like it.
I love how Zoom blurred the bottle.
I liked it too.
like no, we're not branding.
You don't have sponsorship, so we're gonna blur this.
Yeah,
out.
we're not going to advertise that. Well, for myself, before we jump into the middle of the show and then into the second half, for myself, I have rolled so many dice this year. I've played more D&D and more TTRPGs in the first half of this year than I probably have. Not obviously combined over my life, but definitely the most amount.
That's why I haven't been able to do any D&D. You're using
I'm hoarding like a dragon. I am hoarding
D&D. It's okay though, because you getting to go do all of that stuff and doing, you know, being able to continue bringing that energy was super, super helpful when my partner broke his leg earlier this year. Because this man could not walk.
Couldn't walk.
I was doing round the clock care. And Sergio here was carrying things.
This aside from my, you know, my usual, like, you know, bi-weekly game, my Age of Worms 5th edition converted, that we are now entering year 4 of. We started at the onset of the pandemic and have been going strong ever since.
That's beautiful.
Aside from that, I've been playing. I've been playing so much. I actually made a New Year's resolution.
Everything
he could find. Essentially, like I made a New Year's resolution at the beginning of the year to play something new every single month, something I hadn't played before. And so far this month, in January, I played Cyborg, which is a Morkborg offshoot. In February, around that time, I fell deep into the Dungeon Crawl Classics hole, into that wormhole. And I am a absolute DCC and MCC, all Goodman games. I am a convert, and I am a proselytizer. I will preach the good word to anyone about those games. February, I ran and played my first DCC game. In March, I played Alice is Missing, which is a fantastic game. It's what's known as a silent RPG. The game master or storyteller, whatever you want to call them, sets up the game, sets up the, you know, the rules and everything. And then everything is done via text after that. It can be done via like DMs on like online. It can be done via text message, but no one's speaking. You're writing everything, and the story progresses as like via text message. And then that's
pretty awesome as far as accessibility goes. That's really, oh,
it's,
really neat.
It's great. And then like every like 15, 20 minutes or so, like a card is turned, which like advances the story in some way.
Mm-hmm. That's like a MMO text-based game from like Q Basic, only there's just a bunch of people involved.
No, that's, yeah, I mean,
that's, I mean, incredible.
No, yeah, like people like as like Discord was, what is that? Like it's kind of like a like those old like AOL chat rooms. It's like those old like BBS boards, and they're like, oh, okay.
Oh man.
And then in May I played Mutant Crawl Classics, which is like, you know, a like kind of like a post-apocalyptic, like if DCC is, you know, Lord of the Rings, then MCC is like Mad Max. And then this month I played the Free League Blade Runner game for the first time. And that was an absolute treat. I played that at the North Texas RPG Con. Mm-hmm. And our game sort of went viral over the weekend. We played Friday night, and by Sunday, like I would bring it up like, oh yeah, I played that Blade Runner game with, and they're like, the one with Paul Smith. And I go, yeah, like, oh, I heard about that. Yeah, I heard that was great. Oh. And so that was a lot of fun.
I'm sorry, Sergio. I got to interject for like 2 seconds because everything that Free League does, I am in love with.
Free League. Yeah. Much like Goodman Games, like I will preach the good word of Free League all day long.
Yeah. I backed Ruins of Simbaroom, like the 5e adaptation of their original Simbaroom board game or TTRPG. And holy crap, like I started a campaign in that like back in October, and it's just wild. I love it. Like I'm always playing a caster, and in that game at least, like you can cast endlessly. You just acquire corruption. And so that was a big thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to divert there, but yeah, you mentioned Free League, and I was like, ooh, Simbaroom, I gotta talk about it.
Oh no, yeah, like Free League's great. I've got the Alien RPG, I've got Blade Runner. I just received the beta for the Walking Dead, the PDF for that. Mm-hmm. They've got Vassin, they've got, like you said, like Simbrium, they've the one that's like based on like the, I think it's like Finnish Dragonsbane, like I think it's Finnish TTRPG. Yeah, they do a lot of great work. I'm a huge fan of them for sure. In April I played Morkborg, was able to play Village of Hamlet through Morkborg rules, and that was a lot of fun as well. And then, you know, like I guess still got the second half of the year to look forward to. Got any number of games that I could play for the first time. I've got the, well, I'll talk about that when what we're looking forward to.
Are you saying after Morkborg or Morkborg?
Morkborg.
Okay.
Morkborg.
Every time you keep saying that, all I hear is Terry Pratchett. Morkborg.
That makes sense. My favorite Terry Pratchett story is the tweet he sent after he died. That was great. But yeah, anyone else want to bring up something that they've been getting into in the first half of the year before we take a quick break?
Oh, gosh.
of course, the, you know, the movie. We all love the movie.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Oh, Vox Machina was amazing.
Yes. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did. I binged that. I started it and I was like, oh, I'll just watch like an episode a day. It'll be big deal.
No,
oh, it's only five. It's 5 a.m. Why am I? Oh, no.
Exactly.
I finished it and then was like, all right, well, I guess I'm done here now. I'll be back later.
I never had an interest in playing a barbarian until I saw Travis Willingham do it. And then I was like, in love.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to go to the middle of the show. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what we are looking forward to in the second half of 2023. Welcome to the middle of the show. This isn't going to be your normal middle of the show. We're just going to thank the patrons, of course, as we always do. But we're going to forego the news and the homebrew content just so we can get back into the conversation that we're having with our patrons and friends. But yeah, like I said, we wanted to thank the patrons, of course. Obviously the patrons that get to be a part of the round table each and every month. Thank you so much specifically to y'all and to all the other patrons that help grow the show, help make the show as big as it has been, and help us to do all the cool stuff, all the cool nerdy things that we like that we get in our raccoon, three raccoons in a burlap sack of a mind that Mary and myself have. So if you want to support the show in this way, you can go to patreon.com/dndlorecast. We have different tiers, all sorts of cool stuff associated with those tiers, stickers and merch and of course the invitation to the round table. If you want to support the show in other ways, of course, you can, you know, go to Spotify, you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave 5-star reviews for us. Leave us good reviews, and good word of mouth will always help. Will always help grow the show. Follow us on all the socials. We are DND Lorecast pretty much everywhere. Your IGs, your snaps, your we're not on Snapchat, your TikToks, your and soon to be your Twitches. We're going to start streaming here pretty soon. We're very excited about that. And again, it's a lot of it is due to the support from the community at large, and specifically to the folks over at the Patreon. We couldn't be, you know, more humbled by the support and the love. You know, this I've said it before. We are living in a golden age of tabletop role playing games. You know, if D&D is starting to be not your thing, because of, you know, outside, not so much for the game itself, but because of like outside circumstances, you know, specifically like what happened with the OGL and then what happened with the Pinkertons, you are well within your right. We're not going to shame anyone or turn our backs on anyone for not playing the games for those reasons. But that being said, you know, there are so many other games to play, and we love just about all of them. You know, as I'm recording this, Kobold Press's Tales of the Valiant, their 5e adjacent, you know, new game essentially, is just about to fund on their Kickstarter at well over $1 million, 10,000 backers. You know, so the thirst for TTRPGs is there. And again, like, and I mentioned it in the first half of the show, Shadow Dark, again, a completely indie game that was funded for well over $1 million. I mean, we as a community, we have power, we have a voice, and you know, we can make this community as great as possible. And I can't wait. I'm glad to be a part of it, and I hope to have everyone along with me. That being said, let's just go ahead and jump back into the conversation. Welcome back. We are talking with our patrons about, we're doing our 2023 mid-year checkup, talking in the first half about everything that we've gotten into. And now in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about everything that we're looking forward to. Mary, what are you looking forward to in the second half of 2023? Gosh. Now, keep in mind, starting in August, we've got for 4 months straight, a new D&D book every single month.
I know, and I don't know which one I'm the most excited about.
So we've got Glory of the Giants in August. Mm-hmm, we've got the full campaign version of Phandelver in September. And then Planescape in October, which was mentioned in the Discord when I asked the community at large what they were interested in. And then the Book of Many Things to round us out in November.
Okay, so the Book of Many Things I'm absolutely excited about because I like all the little things you can, you know, collect. I'm a goblin. Can't help it. But Planescape, I didn't realize how familiar I was until I started looking at it and looking at the art, and like all of it hit me. I think I've told Sergio this too. Like growing up, my dad played Torment on the computer, and I'd go like pull a chair next to him, sit there and stare at it and watch him. I've never played it all the way through. I have it, and that's a thing you guys might get to witness. But so all of that was like kind of a, so there's a weird nostalgia, but at the same time, I don't know much lore behind it or anything either. So it's kind of, that's kind of exciting for me. And I'm looking forward to that bit, getting to fill in the blanks and maybe chat with the old man about it. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember I gifted you the game on Steam.
You did. And I was like, oh my gosh, you don't have to do that. You're like, dude, it was like $4.
Yeah, it was like super on sale. Like I'm nice, but cheap. I'm also cheap. Yeah. I'm a sweetheart, but I'm a thrifty sweetheart. But about 20 minutes later, you were like, oh my gosh, like memories unlocked. Like and then you told us.
I absolutely know what this is. Yeah. Like I was tripping out. It was amazing. I'm very excited to get to do that and share that, like kind of experiencing those things with people. So I am very, very, very new to actually playing D&D or knowing anything about it. I'm not shy about it. I talk about it all the time.
Well,
so
we're nothing if not gatekeepers here at the D&D Lorecast.
I know. Yeah. We're the absolute worst and don't accept anybody ever.
If you haven't been rolling since 74 and complain that Thaco
is
a thing anymore.
Back when I was negative 13 in 1974.
Thaco was the best thing that's ever happened to the game.
Yeah, I feel like one of those, like, I feel like the old man stuck in his ways about Thaco because I miss it all the time. Even though it sucked as a system, I'm just so attached to it.
God. You damn goblins, get off my lawn.
It's like, I don't... Yeah, I mean, like, it's, hey, like, you can still play it, you know? You can still enjoy it.
No, you can't.
You can still, like, there's so much room for everything here.
That's what I'm looking forward to seeing what, it's going to sound really strange. I'm interested in seeing what happens in the campaigns I'm DMing, because whatever I have planned is not going to happen. They don't ever.
You know, accepting you have a problem. That's the first step.
That's the first step, yeah.
Yeah, I have like four or five of them, and I'm not going to call them out here, but they are all in the Discord. but yeah, looking at that kind of stuff and just seeing where I'm excited for all the new content, of course, though. So.
Grim, how about yourself?
Oh, wow. Okay.
I went counterclockwise on my Zoom screen the first time around, and now I'm going clockwise.
There is a method to your madness. I wonder.
Okay.
About
that. I was wondering too. Honestly, when it comes to like what's coming out D&D related, I am really looking forward to Planescape. I think the amount of lore that I'm going to be able to dive into with the new Planescape book is going to keep me busy for several months.
It's gonna be obscene. It's gonna be absolutely obscene.
Oh yeah, I was going through the old stuff, and there's just book after.
Yeah, so I don't think that's gonna be. I don't think that's ever going to end.
I hope not.
Just the like Sigil of the City of Doors. I really want to learn more about that. Next would have to be Phandelver.
Yeah,
Phandelver and below. Just because it sounds like that'd also be right up my alley in terms of learning things about that campaign and all that.
What's interesting for me for Phandelver is that they're tying in a bunch of like threads from past campaigns and past stories, like all the obelisks that have shown up.
Yeah, I heard that it was going to be from Tomb of Annihilation and from Descent into Avernus.
Mm-hmm.
For two of them.
Yeah, they've shown up, and so, like, you know, and then I think it's going to catapult into, you know, what's going to happen next year for D&D in the 50th anniversary. They've already announced, you know, the return of Vecna and, mm-hmm. you know, the return of the League of Malevolence and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think this is, you know, with like sort of the multiverse being in the public consciousness and the zeitgeist, more or less, mm-hmm. I think they're going to lean heavily into that, which, you know, as another fellow fan of Planescape, I am all there for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like you touched on, this is next year, but I am really excited to see Vecna show up again. Just because I don't think, at least to my knowledge, he's not in 5th edition all that much, if at all. Mm-mm. So I'm really excited to see him show up again.
Just the whispers and shadows of Vecna.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So yeah, being able to learn more about him in the 5th edition landscape is just going to be exciting for me. I mean, I really think that's about all I'm looking forward to, though. You know, obviously good times with my friends and playing D&D with them, but that's about it for me.
Jeff, how about yourself?
I am all Vecna all the time. when I was a kid, like my buddies and I would like take turns like concocting potions to become liches like overnight. Like, you know, it would be like the world's nastiest, like grape Kool-Aid with hot sauce and peanut butter. And I don't know. But just,
these
you know,
are like the actual, like this is actual.
You
stuff
did
that
the, you were a potion mixing kid.
Oh,
you
yeah, did. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were just like, you
using
know, like
old markers that had dried out. You save the insides of them and you can make them all turn different colors and stuff. Yeah. And, mm-hmm.
Just had some PTSD. I was just like staring into space.
I love mixing glitter in it.
Man, my friends are weird.
You would.
I would, yeah. I actually was playing with holographic powders last night. I'm excited.
Oh.
I'm gonna add that to crazy stuff I make.
You do make crazy stuff. I mean, he's green, and he's obnoxious, and he's in Dallas.
I haven't paid him in a long time. I don't work there anymore. The broken leg was a catalyst for that, for me getting to work from home permanently to switch over to doing that. So that was pretty cool too.
Darkwing's referencing the Dallas Stars. What's his name? The Dallas Stars
mascot?
His name
is Victor E. Green.
Who are they? Who are the Stars?
The Dallas Stars. Mary used to make sports mascots.
I used to work in manufacturing of mascots and stuff, and he was one of the guys that was made there where we worked. I actually have scraps from his fur that's
Are you responsible for Gritty?
No, that was not made where I worked.
Okay,
no Gritty.
Ain't no Gritty up in this city.
I'm not a gritty girl.
I would be pleased to know you if it was a thing, because he's the best mascot that the NHL has ever had.
Oh, there are some really fantastic guys
pick
for sure.
One, I'm a Sharks guy, but like. Gritty, that's who you would send to the alien leader if they said, "Bring me your NHL mascot."
Oh God,
you
yeah.
bring Gritty.
Oh no,
just our leader
buddy.
Now. Like send, for president,
send the leader of the planet. Oh, it's Gritty. Just go have fun. I don't know what could happen.
I wouldn't be opposed to that at all.
I believe he's trying to communicate with us through the art of dance.
I mean, it's very bad that he's like in Philadelphia, but. Whatever.
That's the worst part about Gritty. But that we'll save that conversation for the mascot lore cast.
We're gonna put that over in that sportsball channel over in our Discord.
What else have you been looking forward to, Jeff?
That's pretty much it. I would say like Bigby's book on giants is gonna be a big one too. But man, unintentional pun. Oh
It's your first time on the show, and I can see that Mary's already rubbing off.
I am so proud
this is a sign that I need to stop listening to so much of it. If they're just coming out of me completely by accident,
it's fine. It's just part of the transformation process.
Into a Lorecast lich, like just the
one of us.
Outpouring of puns.
One of us. Join us. Yeah, you're a pun you? Lich.
And then of course there's Rise of the Black Coven, which for those of you for those of you interested more in that, we'll have a conversation mm-hmm. with the mind behind that here mm-hmm. on the feed in just a couple of days. But Jeff's the one who brought it to our attention. Yep. So yeah, talk to us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I'm just pretty excited about it. I am of the opinion that there's a lot of space that needs to be created for what tend to be underrepresented communities. So LGBTQ plus women. Anybody that's underrepresented, really, people of color, I think there needs to be more space for that. And so I found this one just kind of, you know, browsing. Every once in a while I get on Kickstarter and I just type in 5e and away I go.
I
found this one.
Have a Kickstarter problem.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm right there with you. I can confirm this.
Yeah, I think before you got on, Mary, Sergio was like, oh, damn it, Jeff. Like, you had to introduce me to another one. I had it back. I'm like, well, that's what you get.
Like, I'm not sorry. I'm like, well, I'm just trying to blame you anyway. Like, I have very little impulse control.
At least this way, it's not your fault.
Yeah. I found it on Kickstarter, and I was like, hey, here's a perfect example to live out in action, you know, that feeling that I have, so.
No, yeah, it looks, I mean, it looks so awesome. Like, you brought it to our attention. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, like, that's something we definitely want to get behind. I sent it to Mary. She's like, I am in. I am invested.
I am very supportive of the Alphabet Mafia. It's a very, very, very near and dear and very personal thing for me.
Very
do
cool.
What?
Say, get them.
Get them.
I was supporting. I was supporting in my own redneckish way.
Hell for it. Hell, that's good for it. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah, man. Fuck around, man. Yeah.
I'm for it. Hell yeah.
Woo. Valari, what are you looking forward to in 2023?
Well, mostly the new mod on Neverwinter, but also the rest of the new Weiss and Hickman series.
Yes, the new book comes out in August, I believe.
I think so. I went through Dragons of Deceit, and I am so happy that they made Dalimar as awesome as he is. Like, he put up with Raceland, so he has to be good. And
has to be, yeah, has to have something going for him.
And, like, one of the only mages in all of Dragonlance that can just summon all of the magic gods and go, hey, what do you guys think? Like, Justarius isn't doing that. So I'm really looking forward to the rest of that story, because they crafted a world. I mean, they did the time travel thing again, which is kind of weird, but it seems like it should be a great story and lead to a lot more now that Dragonlance is actually up in 5e now, as far as campaigns and stuff go, because they ran their course way back when. I think they only went up to like 12 modules when second edition was out, when they first released, and everybody just built like this giant world from that. Yep. Like six books expanded into 24 books, and you know, the dungeon set and all the modules, and here's another sphere in Spelljammer. Spelljammer is another thing that I really need to buy.
I love Spelljammer. I really do.
It's one of the few things that someone went, well, why can't Greyhawk be attached to Faerûn? I don't understand.
Right, yep.
Like,
right.
Ooh, pirate ships in space. Perfect.
Space clowns.
How do the Illithid get around? Oh, they're obviously on boats.
Yeah, and that's
you've seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
And I love Spelljammer so much, and I wish, and that's one of my major criticisms of fifth edition, is how like they seem to introduce something like Ravenloft, or like, you know, Spelljammer or like Dragonlance, and then subsequently forget about it.
Yeah. Here's this, do whatever you want to with it, and then they walk away.
Well, you know? Look at Dark Sun. Dark Sun was an amazing example of that.
God, I miss Dark Sun.
In fact, that reminds me.
And all the old men in the room were like,
"It was open weeping." Like that was a communal.
It was literally.
They all took off their cowboy hats and put it over their chest and like tipped their heads down D&D in remembrance. And
everyone's just like, "Oh, but there were no modules, and they made three books, but they put out a box set. What the fuck?"
So, Garzo, Ajit George, who was the creative director behind Radiant Citadel, has expressed interest in bringing Dark Sun to 5th edition. Because, you know, Radiant Citadel, for those of you who didn't listen to the episode or have the book, it's like this very, like, you know, utopian sort of look at, you know, what could be, you know, and it's...
It's top five favorites, I think, for me, book wise.
And so Ajit said it would be interesting to look at the, you know, other side of that coin. You know, whereas like, you know, Radiant Citadel, like everyone is working together for, you know, so that everyone, you know, for the benefit of everyone.
It's like an idealized version of socialism.
Right, right.
But it actually works.
You know, what would happen if, like, on the flip side of that, what would happen, you know, if everything became corrupted and awful? Okay, that's Dark Sun. Like, let's look at it from there. And I would love to see, you know, the perspective that he has and the team that he would put together. Because I love Dark Sun.
I was going to say, I have a feeling that if they do end up bringing it back and adapting it, it's going to have a slightly different... I don't want to say like a completely different tone, but like the thing that I fell in love with was you need to roll three characters at level three to start the campaign because one will die.
That was brutal. Just
the baseline assumption. That was when I was like, okay, cool. So I don't know if they're going to incorporate that, but it would be okay.
I played through third edition. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that's how I played through third edition. Just make three characters. Some of these are gonna die, some of them maybe not.
Oh man, I need to run a DCC funnel for y'all.
I think one of the biggest Dark Sun flaws when they created the entire thing was the idea of the dragon god.
Well,
if you've got one giant dragon that basically controls everything, it doesn't lend a lot to Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I mean, that was the other thing, is that much like Ravenloft, you know, Dark Sun was sort of set aside, like separated from the rest of D&D at large.
Well, it seems like they kind of keep the horror aspects of it cornered over in one spot. They keep them in the dungeon. Off to the side.
No, yeah, exactly. And so it's
a very careful line to have to walk, though, as far as being politically correct and producing stuff. I can understand tiptoeing on that carefully from a business perspective, but at the same time, man, that horror stuff.
I was around and playing when Ravenloft first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it easily eclipsed everything except Temple of Elemental Evil. Like, awesome. Those are the only two.
That is an opinion.
those are the only two modules I remember wholeheartedly in every detail of from the 80s.
Yeah, Temple of Elemental Evil is it's one of those. It's like the Kennedy assassination, or like the Twin Towers. Like, you know where you were the moment that happened to you.
The very first time you broke the spine on that and read it.
Speaking of Temple of Elemental Evil, and just to harp on how much I love Goodman Games, they've been re-releasing 5e editions of some of those classic campaigns, like Castle Amber and Temple of Elemental Evil. It's like a two book set. They've got like the original rule set, you know, for updated for like OSC, like, you know, old school essentials, old school Renaissance type gameplay. And then they have a 5e version, which you can pick up. And it will cause blunt force trauma. It is a chonk. It is a chonker.
I like that. That's how I like thought my books. Is how it could be a weapon. That's how that's I like my always books. My first thought with stuff too. I'm like, man, you could hurt somebody with that. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I'm gonna put this on the lower shelf, you know, just in case.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Those are the ones that go on the bottom for foundation on a bookshelf. Is that what you're telling me?
That is a load bearing book.
That is a load bearing book. Got it.
Darkwing, how about yourself? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I've got a couple things. I'm with Mary. I'm really excited to see what's gonna happen in the game that I'm running, because I don't know how we got to where we are. No idea. None of this is planned. But we just keep going into crazy shit. Somehow I'm in a canyon full of just Nagas that was not anywhere in my original notes. Nowhere. Not one bit. But things happen. And by things, I mean shit. I mean, make it up as I go at that point.
I mean, like, that's the best laid plans, right? Especially when it comes to homebrew campaigns.
But we're going to get to where we're going to be chapter two, which is where, the garbage can of holding transfers people from Faerun to Barovia, so I get to switch from
that's who
realms.
That quote was from. I was looking at stuff that cleared my desk and I found it written on a thing that you wanted to use a garbage can of holding to release Strahd into Faerun. I was like, who the hell said
yes!
this? It was dying.
Oh, that is the best callback ever.
I think that was like my first round table, maybe, or second.
What is this?
Easily.
Note?
But I was looking at stuff and I was like, which weirdo?
Oh,
which
one is
weirdo?
Any number of us.
Oh my god!
Oh, that makes that one of us. That makes me so happy.
I'm glad that mystery is solved.
The sense of relief that I can feel. I'm so glad for you right now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I forgot where it was. I'll just move on. It just what's coming up is going to be awesome. I'm really excited for it. I've been waiting a long time to get to Barovia, which I am celebrating tonight. I have made Barovian butterscotch pudding, which should be perfect to go when this is all over.
As long as it's made there and not anything actually made in Barovia, I'd trust it.
One of my cook buddies, actually, said Barovia. He thought I said Bavarian. He had no idea what I was talking. He's like, Bavarian butterscotch, but what is that? I'm like, nope, nerd stuff, dude, nerd stuff.
Delicious, but much nerdier.
I can't believe nobody else has mentioned this. The D&D TV show coming up.
Is that, if it's this year, though.
Oh, is it not this year? Well, yeah, that's just something I'm looking forward to, I guess. Like, the future is just well ahead of me. I don't know when it's coming.
We can discuss that at the year end show when we look into our crystal ball for the for our predictions for 2024.
Well, I'll put it in my notes. I'll be there for that too. Just aside from D&D, I accidentally have stumbled into Warhammer 40K, and I love.
Did it hurt when you fell on all the minis?
No, I swam around. I was like, yay.
Yeah.
It's great.
Like a Scrooge McDuck and a vault
full of
Warhammer minis.
Scrooge McCrag.
Yep.
New paints, because I enjoy art quite a bit. Means I get to buy new colors, and I always love buying new colors. It makes everything better.
Oh my gosh, buying
new
craft supplies.
That's the best.
That is some good stuff right there, sir. What? Do you have mini paints in your hand, Sergio?
I got some mini paints for Father's Day.
Nice.
Bravo. Yes. Bravo. And just just kind of looking around for more D&D cookbooks. Somehow putting lore and cooking in the same place, it's honestly, if you put cooking involved, that's how they got me into reality TV. Hell's Kitchen, bam. I was like, reality TV's stupid. Hell's Kitchen, I'm in. And then
I'm in. Yeah,
that's fair.
And then D&D and cookbooks.
Go see them.
I'll buy them all. Son of a bitch. Here, just take my money. Thank you.
Yeah, we're working on the house towards streaming that stuff being cooked from my kitchen.
Yeah, it's all going to be part of the Twitch channel.
Yep, working on hopefully being able to start that in the fall when it cools off. Because I love you guys, but I am not going to roast in a kitchen and stream at the same time in front of people. That's not a...
I need sacrifice.
I will. There will be sacrifices. I will eat many things.
Sacrifices, she says.
And I might take some to Sergio.
Hey, I'm always down for a sacrifice.
Yeah, see, there you go.
But yeah, cool. you mentioned the TV show. While I don't think that's coming out this year, the free ad supported TV streaming channel for D&D Dungeons and Dragons Adventures. Yeah. When it was announced, it was slated for a summer launch. So we still might be able to see that before the end of the year. So I'm excited for that. I mentioned that I have a bit of a Kickstarter problem. And it's only exacerbated by folks like Jeff, who...
Good dollar word.
Exacerbated by going on Kickstarter.
It's only exacerbated by typing in kickstarter.com and...
Typing it in. Sir, you've got that hotkey.
By typing K and then kickstarter.com pops up. Like, oh, that's... His finger hovers
over it. Yeah, his finger hovers over it. It pushes before he gets a chance to, because it knows.
So... But this is estimated delivery by the end for the second half of 2023. I am looking forward to the official release of the Shadow Dark RPG, which I met Kelsey Dion from Arcane Library at North Texas RPG Con.
Nice.
Lovely, lovely person. Congratulated them on the huge success of Shadow Dark.
That is so awesome.
I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to the aforementioned Walking Dead role-playing game from Free League. Looking forward to it's called The Portents of the Degloved Hand. It's a card deck to be used with Morkborg. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to Hell Train, which is a module for the Weird Frontiers gaming system that I played for the first time at North Texas RPG Con. That was a blast. And I'll be playing that module at the Long Con, which is a TTRPG convention in Longview, Texas, in November. So definitely
what
looking forward to that.
What a great name. What a great way to brand. I love it when people do that. I'm sorry. That gets me so excited. I love cheesy branding that works.
And I'll be running an X-Crawl funnel at Long Con as well.
Look at you.
Which I might play test it with the patrons or with some of the Lorecast community. A module needs to be play tested.
It's true.
It does. You're right.
Fancy schmancy.
Ooh la la. And then as far as and finally on Kickstarter, I'm looking forward to Daughter of Frankenstein, which is from Beth DeBard. It is a 5e compatible narrative TTRPG adventure of mystery, classic body horror, supernatural science, and industrial disaster. And I discovered this a few months back and have been eagerly anticipating it ever since. It looks absolutely fantastic. And much like y'all, I am so excited. I'm excited for all the official offerings that are coming up in the second half, but Planescape, most of all.
Planescape.
Growing up, the artwork for Planescape and Dark Sun specifically was I have the most vivid memories of that, seeing that artwork in the Spider-Man comics that I was reading and the X-Men comics I was reading, and thinking like, man, that looks awesome. What is that?
Yep.
All hail Brom.
Oh man, I want to see Dark Sun so bad in fifth edition. But I have the one of the box sets for Advanced D&D second edition. Hmm. And I have the fourth edition campaign guide. So you know, maybe we can just play that.
Hey, whatever you want to do, it's your table.
I want to do that.
All of it. He wants to do all of it.
I honestly think second edition is possibly the most fun.
I really
like first edition because the bards and the monks in that just kick ass entirely. Like, you didn't need anybody else in a party with those two.
All monks and all bards.
Just a monk, a bard, and a barbarian, and take over cities.
That's the starting of a joke. And at the end of it, the tavern keeper is probably weeping.
A monk, a barbarian, and a bard walk into a bar.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, I'll pay you tomorrow.
So it says to the guy, why the long face?
Because he's a minotaur. That's extremely insensitive. Sorry.
Not my fault he's got a long face.
Mary. One thing I'm not looking forward to is all the puns Mary has in store for us.
You know, he says that, but I think he would miss him if he didn't hear him.
If you play a minotaur, you have to name a bell just because they got the nose ring.
I don't know. If I ever play one, it's going to be named Pat Minotaur. Are you kidding me?
That's amazing.
And oh with my God. That, thank you so much, patrons, for joining us. If you want to let us know what you've been getting into in the first half of 2023 and also what you are looking forward to in the second half, hit us up on the socials, hit us up on our official Discord.
Yep.
We are literally obsessed with talking about D&D. You're not going to, there's always that like, oh man, like I overshared. I shouldn't have done
that.
Hope
I don't get weird and make people uncomfortable. Yeah. No.
That's not weird. A thing when it comes to D&D and us. I think anyone can have fun playing D&D, playing TTRPGs for sure.
There's a table out there for everybody.
Absolutely. 100%.
Very wise. That was very wise.
That was so wise. It's not just puns. It's
sometimes there's wisdom in there. It's kind of like rolling for wild magic. You don't know what's going to happen when I open my mouth.
Again, thank you so much, patrons, for joining us, and thank you so much for listening. My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
Fare thee well, dear listener, and until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
Thank you for listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. If you've enjoyed the show, consider following us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at D&D Lorecast, or jumping into the Robots Radio Discord to chat more with us about Dungeons & Dragons. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.